Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome back to the all-new, brand-new Coach LaLisa Show. Well, the reason I say new, because it's something we haven't done in a while. You know, 2 months can go by really fast. I mean, it was like a jet plane, Zoom, and before you know it, we started out. Well, let me just first say good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to some of our new listeners, and absolutely welcome back to all of the listeners that we've built up over the past 3 or 4 years, probably close to four, if not, we may even be going on 5 years with the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we've had some transitions and we've made some changes over that 5 years. We started out just a half-hour radio show 1 day a week. Yeah, we started out with just 1 half-hour, just 1 day a week. And then we evolved into a one-hour show 1 day a week. And then we moved on to 5 days a week, 1 hour. And we still have places to go. You know, there's always more to do. So who knows what's next. I mean, we've kicked around a few ideas and thoughts, possibly doing an evening show. I certainly would love to do an afternoon show. I would love to do a show where, you know, people can listen as they drive home from work. I used to do a show on about 3 or 4 o'clock with Harvest Radio, and that was pretty fun. So, good morning. I know there's lots and lots and lots of questions. We won't be able to take all of your questions today. However, if you have an immediate need, something on your job, in your work, or your personal life that you would like answered or considered or pondered, or you just have something you want to get off your chest, you can call in. The area code is call in. The phone number to call in is 347-9457-991. Now, I know many people say, are you coming back? Well, here's the thing. It's very, 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 you can't walk away from your purpose, okay? Let me just put it like that. There is no such thing as walking away from your purpose. When God gives you a purpose, you shall fulfill it. Okay, let me give you a prime example. If you remember the Bible story where Jonah had an assignment. You can't even walk away from your assignments with God. But he had an assignment to fulfill a purpose that God had given him. And that was to go tell the people of Nineveh that, you know, they better, you know, get right with that God was going to help them out. And he didn't want to do it, because he thought they didn't deserve it. So he tried to avoid and sidetrack his purpose. But what happened? He ended up there anyway, even though he tried to go another way, so to speak. And I also think about Ruth, the other one, the Ruth and One Night with the King. Oh, Esther, yeah. Queen Esther, she tried for a few minutes, yeah. She tried to say, you know what, I can't blow my cover, so to speak. I'm the queen now. You know, she told Mordecai, her uncle, I really don't think I can do this purpose, this assignment that God had for her. And the purpose was to save the Jews alive. And her assignment was to go to the king and to ask for his pardon for their lives. And she thought, I can't tell him that because then he'll know that I'm a fake, so to speak. I'm undercover here. But she couldn't get away from it. So, you know, he told her, you know, what do you mean? How do you know you didn't come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And that's what it's like. So your purpose, you really can't get away. So my purpose is to motivate people, to inspire people to live their dreams so that they can, utilize all of the gifts, the talents, the skills, and the abilities that God has given them. So that's the purpose. That's the purpose. So the assignments are things like the Coach LaLisa show. Then there's, you know, there's the workshops. The workshop where I help people live out their talents, dreams, skills, and abilities. And so we do that using the book, Release Your Power. By the way, it is still on sale. It is still a, it's still my number one bestseller. It may not be Doubleday or USA Today or Hay House or any of the other big publishing houses. It may not be their number one bestseller, but it's certainly my number one bestseller. So anyway, you can still get that. You can get it online at my website. I would greatly appreciate it. Well, you know, we need those books sold so that we can continue to fund the radio show. As you know, this radio show is not it's not a free service. It's a cost. There is a cost associated to it. So when you purchase a book, it helps to pay for the radio show and also other products. Now we have something that we didn't have. I don't think the last time I talked to you, I may have just been in production of that, and that's the Release Your Power workbook now. So now we have that also. I've sold two sets of that already. And then we have an event coming up in December where people are ordering that workbook. So if you have a group in your school, at work, in your college, any other group that you would like for people to discover all of their talents, skills, gifts, and abilities and how they can use them, we welcome the opportunity to come and serve you in that manner, and we will, you know, make the workbook available. So let's get down to business here. Good morning, good morning. So I don't know who all is listening today, Monday, our first day back, October the 3rd. So let me just give a few shout-outs. First and foremost, I want to give a shout-out to all of you who kept talking about the Coach LaLisa show, even when we weren't on the air. So I so greatly appreciate you for keeping the show in the minds and in the forefront of the minds of the people so that we can reach more people, so we can do more of the purpose. But I have to say, I'm really, really excited about the Coach LaLisa show. I've met some wonderful people. Oh, my God, you just don't know. Well, you do know because you all met wonderful people as well. I'm sure you, on your vacations or whatever you did over the months of August, you know, we started out just taking a vacation for a month. But we met some exciting people. And guess what? I have convinced some of those exciting people to show up here in the morning, 7 a.m., for the Coach LaLisa show. And they're going to be coming to you and give you their secrets to success. So they're going to be coming. So if you know anybody that wants success, and I know everybody does not want to be a success in life. I believe that. There are some people who are okay with mediocre, like just kind of the middle of the way. They don't want to push themselves. And I'm not saying that's not being a success. But this type of success that we're pushing for here through this Coach LaLisa show. And we're pushing toward a progressive, you know, a progressive success. We're pushing toward high potential success. So not everybody wants that. Some people are okay with the middle of the road, you know, mediocre. It's the same people that go to school and settle for a C, and then they begin to believe that's all they can do. No, you can't. There was a time when I was getting a C when I was in high school. I remember getting a C a time or two, and mostly D's, but I remember a time or two. And I thought, oh, that's great, you know, that's your average. That's what they told you in school. C is average. C is average. B is above average, and A was excellent. You know, that's how the grades went. D was below average, and F was failure. That's where we get that from. So in school, you got A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, F. I don't know what happened. I don't know. They didn't like the E. So I guess they went over to F. Well, F stands for failure. Well, then why not have E? Because E could have been for excellent. But anyway, I digress. So here we are back on the air. So excited. You know, because I was sleeping in late some of those days, so I need to get back up early. Got other things to do in the morning. Get that energy flowing and pumping. You know, like pumping iron in the gym. It builds muscle. And, you know, when you build muscle, you know, muscle, I finally realized that muscle burns more fat. So you got to get that muscle. Then when when it's not built up, so you got to get those muscles built up. But, yeah, so here we are. So we're back, and we're going to be having these awesome, awesome guests that I've been meeting on my travels down to Virginia Beach. Okay, before I went to Virginia Beach, I was on Facebook. And, by the way, if you're not one of my Facebook friends, please become a friend so you can keep up with what we're doing. But I was in Virginia Beach, and before I went to Virginia Beach, I said, I'm going to go there, I'm going to network, I'm going to meet people, right? And now I'm supposed to be going there on vacation, but I made a plan. So I'm going to network. I'm going to meet people. Well, you could kind of call it a virtual plan because it wasn't written down. I didn't have anything specific that I was definitely going to plan to do other than I was going to network. Well, sure enough, I get down there, and I mean, I went over and beyond just average networking. I ended up going to a Career and Education Expo that was held at a very nice hotel downtown Norfolk, in the Norfolk area, Norfolk by the airport. I just met so many wonderful people at this Career Expo. There were about 10, I don't know how many colleges there, but quite a few colleges. There were small business owners, there were real estate agents there, people selling insurance. It's all kinds of small business. It was like perfect. It was as if I knew it was happening and had planned it. I had no idea this was going to happen. And I didn't even find out. If it had not been for my niece, who had recently moved back to the area, she purchased a Sunday paper. Now, we've been going there on vacation for the past 15 years. I've never thought to purchase a Sunday paper. Well, she purchased a Sunday paper because she lives there. And she left the paper in our condo. So here I open it up, and you know, we have this awesome condo right on the beach. So I open up the paper, and there's an advertisement for this particular event. And luckily the event had not happened yet. It was going to be happening that Wednesday. So I made plans to go. And then on top of that, now this one event I did know about probably about a week before going there. But just a week. But this was still after I had stated, I'm going to get there, I'm going to network, I'm going to meet people, I'm going to talk about the book, the conference, the radio show, right? You know, networking, right? I get there and, you know, we go network to see where we can fit in. So I go there and what happens? A woman that I know from on the internet, I met her through the internet. So, people, the internet does work. You can meet some very, 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 very valuable people on the internet, including Facebook. But I actually met her through LinkedIn because the woman that I met her through LinkedIn, and that woman connected me to this woman who has a radio show also on Blog Talk Radio. It comes on Thursday evening. So, I meet her. And she holds this event, this community day. And I said, oh, that sounds great, a community day. I'll get to meet people in that community. And I, sure enough, I did go. I met some people. We had a wonderful time. I'm telling you, it was just amazing. So those are some things I did in Virginia. And then on the way home, we stopped in Maryland. My husband wanted to go see the Washington Monument. And so, I wanted to see it too. The Dr. Martin Luther King Monument, I should say, in Washington, D.C. So So I have a sister who lives close by. We called her up. Hey, can we stay with you for a day or two so that we can travel into D.C. on Saturday morning? And she knows D.C. pretty well. She's been living there for several years now, at least 10. And she works right there, smack dab, in the heart of D.C. So she said, sure. So we went. She went with us. So we had our own personal tour guide. And boy, do you need it when you're down there, unless you know where everything is. So she parks her car right on the mall, right like where the mall splits. And there's a highway there, maybe Highway K or something, I don't know. No, 7th Street, right on 7th Street. We parked the car, and, you know, I didn't realize that the Dr. Martin Luther King Monument is like a mile away. So, but we didn't know that. So, you know, everything, you got the monument right there, you got the Lincoln Memorial, and everything looks so close. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, when you start walking, it's far. So it's like it was over a mile away, I know. So, but nonetheless, what happens? I get out of the car, I see all these tents, and I'm thinking, well, this has something to do with, you know, the Dr. Martin Luther King Memorial. There's people all over the mall. The moment my husband gets out, he begins to reminisce about the Million Man March, because he was there on the mall, and he was like saying how it reminded him of that, because there were so many people. Well, what happened? We walked right smack dab in the midst of the Library of Congress, their national book festival. So imagine that. Here you got this author getting out of the car, and she walks right smack dab into a national, okay? Not local, not community, not down by the sea, but the National Book Festival. Not from this agency and that agency, but the Library of Congress, the biggest book controlling agency that there is in the United States. This is the place where people want their books to be listed. When you're, you know, you want your book listed with the Library of Congress. So everybody that was anybody was there in terms of authors. Now, a lot of authors, I don't know their names. I mean, I do know Toni Morrison. I do know Terry McMillan. I do know Eric Jerome Dickey. Well, I don't know them, but I see them. I know of them. I know their names. I know that they were there, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm telling you, you can't even imagine how big this event. This event is very, very big. And so it was great, though. There were people everywhere. I mean, oh, my God, they had children's events and teen and events for teenagers and, you know, just so many things that was there. And so we just had a great time, and we finally got over it. By the time we stayed at the book fair for like an hour, but the book festival, by the time we got over to the other side where the monument was, a lot of time had passed by, but we finally got over there, and how beautiful that monument was. So we felt real special to be there. And I know this weekend coming up, they actually are doing the dedication and the groundbreaking and the opening and all that good stuff. So that's going to really be nice. That's going to be good, 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 good. And then, let's see, where else did we go? Oh, wow. So we came back to Jersey after that. And so I said, you know what? I'm ready to get back to the Coach LaLisa show. And so here we are. So welcome, welcome, welcome. That was my travels for the past 2 months. So it's been a lot. It's been fun. We've done a lot of things. And then Saturday, October 1st, I found myself at a book fair, I'm excited. It was the Writers and Readers Conference in Rahway, New Jersey, at the Rahway Public Library, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. right there on East Milton, but now they've renamed the street to like City Hall Plaza. Beautiful place. That was hosted by New House Publishing. CEOs of that are Mr. Terry Benjamin and Mr. Tobias. And it was very, very, very powerful. It was very good. It was a very great. And what else did we do? We had a great time. And let's see. I met some very, oh my God, the people that I met there. It was absolutely awesome. I mean, these people, these authors, they were so, so, so inspiring. So, today I wanted to talk about as a topic. Now, one of the authors may call in. I'm not going to put him on blast just in case he got tied up in something else. And then we'll bring him on for another day. But I do have several of the authors, and they were some heavy hitters, I'm telling you. Several of them will be coming to the Coach Lalisa Show, so I'm very excited about that. But one of the things that I picked up from that conference on Saturday with Terry Benjamin and the others, what I picked up, and it was powerful, I'm telling you, these authors were awesome. There had to be, okay, there was, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, including me, 9. There were 9 of us there altogether. Well, actually 10, because there was a young girl just graduating high school, just graduated West Side, yeah, just graduated West Side High School in Newark, New Jersey last summer. Oh, this past summer she'll be going to Essex County College. Oh my God, this younger lady was so awesome. She was doing her spoken word poetry, and she really was very, very good. I could definitely see her on television very, very soon. And the person who she was there with, she's one of his students, Mr. Elijah. Awesome, awesome young man. And they were awesome together, and, you know, and he had his books. So he was one of the authors who spoke. And he's a very, very, very deep young man. And then there was Mr. William Cooper. I mean, they were awesome. But I tell you, I was so touched by Mr., I think it's Godfrey. Is that his name? To me, the way it's spelled and then the way it sounds. Godfrey and McClellan. He made some jokes about his name. He was very funny. He kept us all in stitches. He was very, very funny. And then Miss Janice White, Mr. I think there was a Justin. I don't have all the names, but I will have them for you because I really want to have each of those authors come. But what I got from them, they all have their novels, and it was so, so awesome. And then, oh yeah, let me give a special shout out to the eighth grader there who has written her first novel, and she's almost finished. She was in the audience. Awesome. Her mother is also writing a book. I believe their books will come out at the same time. And it looks like my guest is here. Awesome. So I'm going to go right to his phone line. Is this Mr. McClellan?
Well, good morning. Yes, it is. Hello.
Oh, good morning. You know what? You got perfect timing.
I try to be punctual.
I was just thinking about you. I was just talking about you, and I said, well, I'm not going to blow up his spot, you know, because I know you have a lot of things going on, but I was just starting to tell them about the conference and all the powerful authors that I met. I had told them about many of them, and I said there was one that really, really, really made an impact on me with your books and, you know, and the fact that you agreed to come on the show in such short notice. I just met you on Saturday. You have a very busy morning,
yes.
And here you are. You had a busy weekend. So,
I'm telling you, I just, oh, actually, right now, and well, when I finish on this show, I will have stopped running since Friday. Or shall we say Thursday night. I have been constantly on the move. So, yes, you are right. I have been everywhere this weekend. And it just was still, I'm still feeling the impact of the conference. You know, I'm still feeling that impact. And I've been talking about it since the conference, since Saturday. I've been talking about it nonstop. And like you said, I've been running ever since. Like, I just dropped my daughter off, and I promised you and I told you I will call in as soon as I drop my daughter off the school with no problem. But good morning.
Morning, good morning. And you know what? And you are truly, truly, truly a man of your word. And so I really, really appreciate that. But I was so, you know, I was so blessed to meet someone who has not only written, you know, one book, but you have two books or three. And I just wanted you to talk a little bit about the challenges of writing a book. I thought about a topic for today is to overcome fear. And there's a lot of fear for people to put forth their dream, their idea. So why don't, you know, first of all, let's make sure they get your name, because I don't want to mess up your first name. I got the McClellahan. I got that part. But I'm like, okay, G-E-O-F-F. Is that Goffrey?
No, it's actually Jeffrey. That's the English way. And
you know,
and,
you were confusing me with that at the conference all day. I'm like, wait a minute. Looking at the paper.
No, everyone was confused. They were kind of confused because, you know, two people kept calling me Goffrey, Goffrey, Goffrey. And, you know, sometimes I let it slide, you know. And you know how raw I try to keep it at the conference. That's just my personality. You know, it's you know, it's Jeffrey, and my last name is McClanahan. So, you know, hey, I get a lot of weird things happen with my name, being that I am black. You know, a lot of people see an African-American man, and then you see Jeffrey spelled that way, and my last name being an Irish name. So, you know, I just have to live with that. I tell people, hey, listen, my mother married the man. They named me. I didn't name him. I didn't, you know, do this.
It's your
own.
But you know what's so funny? I said, what you need to do when you go anywhere to speak, they need to let you introduce your own name. Because I was like, because I thought I heard people saying Jeffrey. And then I was wondering, you know, I couldn't see down the end of the table always. So I'm like, who are they talking about? You know? So I'm like, oh, I said, but wait a minute. But Jeffrey, I know it's spelled. Okay. So anyway, Mr. Jeffrey Goffrey, no, I'm just kidding, but because, you know, you are such a fun person, but okay, Mr. Jeffrey, now I got it right. That is so funny. I tell you, when I met you, when I heard you speak, speaking so eloquently, so powerful, you have your books, you're out there, you're marketing, you're traveling, you're helping people, you're getting people, some people who really don't like to read, but they'll pick up your book, and they'll read your book. How did you go from, you know, point A to Z, so to speak, in terms of becoming an author? How did you get over the fear of writing and who's going to purchase the book and all those things?
Well, first, it was I did not want to be a writer.
Really?
I did not want to be a writer. No, I did not want to be a writer. I sort of fell into writing because of my story. You know, I blatantly share it, and then sometimes I want to share. And the reason why I share it this way of my story, without writing a biography or, you know, where I came from, you know, being an African-American writer or even an urban writer, you know, I don't tell my story as much as I should, because that's my story. But I did not want to be a writer. I fell into writing because of a situation that had happened. Like I shared on the panel, You know, I was incarcerated for something that I've done, obviously. You know, and at that time, in that period of my life, yes, you know, sometimes us black men, we need to own up to that and stop pointing fingers. I was in there because I made the choice and the decision to wind up in that place, which was prison. It's nothing to boast, it's nothing to be proud of, but at that time of my life, you know, a situation that happened, my cousin was murdered. By her a mate, and I had received a message from my mother, and, you know, at that time, like I said, it was about a couple of years ago. This was in 2004 she was murdered, and I heard about this, you know, from my mother, who solemnly swore she would never come to prison to visit anybody. She just doesn't do the prison thing, but she came and she told me that my favorite cousin, my female cousin, had been murdered. The only reason why she came up there to tell me is because the prison system is kind of shady. Sometimes you don't get the mail, whatever the case may be. So, you know, after that visit, you know, I just, Al, can I call you Al?
You can call me Al.
I can call you Al. I just broke down, and you know, in therapy they say sometimes in order to embrace your pain or embrace your the situation, and if someone's died or passed away but you never had the opportunity to say goodbye, they tell you you either write a letter or you do a poem, you know, find an outlet to just get rid of that pain. So it turned out it started out as a poem. I started writing my cousin a poem. First, I cried. As we say, I bawled for like at least 4 days, you know, and this is in prison, you know. It didn't make me less of a man. It just made me, you know, it just made me realize where I was at that time in my life, and I was tired because I couldn't do anything, you know. There was nothing that I could do. I couldn't even protect her. I felt it was my fault. The guilt was kicking in. So I started a poem, and then from a poem, it turned into something else, and to this day, I still don't even know what that was. And then the next thing, you know, I just started having flashbacks of everything as far as domestic violence. You know, I've been shot 3 times. I'm from the Bronx. I shared that on the panel. I'm from the Bronx, the Soundview section of the Bronx. I'm not trying to make my section more dangerous than any other, but where I grew up at, in the heart of hip hop, Bronx River. Like I said, it was and still is a little bit as dangerous. So I've been shot 3 times. I've been stabbed. I was in a gang. You know, and I just started looking at all of the violence and just domestic violence around me. And I said, you know what? Us as a community, this is just terrible. You know, it's just horrible how we treat each other as not even, you know, never a racist or never prejudiced. I've never grew up with that. But us as a black community, us as African Americans, I just looked at all the domestic violence. Mother's an abusive survivor. So I just started thinking, like, what can I do to get back now? What can I say? And you know, that was the catapulting of Waiting for the Sun to Rise, which is my first book, which I did write in prison because of that situation. So, you know, no, I didn't want to be a writer. I just happened to start writing. It turned into a poem, then it turned into something else, then it turned into a story plot, and then it turned into 350 pages. And I said, you know what? Wow. But I made this story also diverse because I realized that, you know, domestic violence does not just affect us as an African-American culture, but it affects everyone because domestic violence has no boundaries. It has no barriers. Domestic violence does not care if you're Asian. It doesn't care if you're Hispanic. It doesn't care if you're black. It doesn't care if you're a woman. It doesn't care if you're a man. Domestic violence just exists as it is an entity. So that's why my first book has so many different races and characters in it, because I don't want to stereotype myself as, oh, he's an urban lit writer and all he writes about is black people, you know. So I want to change the game. And that answers the first question on that.
Wow.
You want me to continue on answering the second question?
Wow. That is so amazing.
Yes.
Said so much, I tell you. I got to have you back on for part 1, 2, 3, and 4. Really, you got to have.
That's the last radio personality told me. She said Laura Gale is from Philly. And she told me on her radio talk show, she said, I can't do this with you just in one show, man. I can't do this one show. We got to
need a part. We know we're going to need a part four because you know on Saturday, I know for a fact nobody wanted you to stop. You were, oh, my God. You know, you're funny.
Thank you.
You got charisma. You got a lot going for yourself. But one thing I wanted to mention, you know, this being October, not only is it, you know, nationally Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but nationally it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So I'm not sure if you are aware of that.
No, actually I'm not. I've been running. I know cancer awareness because I have something to do October 8th for cancer awareness.
Yes.
I am doing a book signing for that, and half the proceeds are going towards, you know, finding, you know, cancer research. You know, I want to give back. You know, and my mother also is a survivor of breast cancer. There's so much to my story and why, you know, and who I am. You know how I share. I will try to keep it, as, you know, as much PG rated as you know how I give it up. You know, because that's just the way. Yeah, you know,
you know,
but I'm going to keep it PG on your show, baby, until you give me the green light, which I won't do because this is radio. But, you know, I give it up. But my mother is a cancer survivor, you know, and that was even hard, you know, dealing with my mother going. I went to surgery with her. By the grace of God, like I said, I changed my life around 7 years ago when I was released, 6 years ago when I was released. And I have not been in any trouble. I've just been pushing forward. That's it. You know, even at the age that I am, some people it takes a while to evolve. But I went with my mother to, you know, get the surgery done to remove the cancer tissue out of her breast. And thank by the grace of God, also, you know, it didn't come back, and she doesn't need chemotherapy. She doesn't need any of that. And, you know, so I understand that, and diabetes. So Saturday, October 8th, you know, I am going to be doing a book signing. I don't have the flyer in front of me, so even if you gave me the opportunity to hopefully other people to come out October 8th, which is in Jersey. I don't know, I'm not too sure how familiar. Have you ever heard of Alex Boykins, Alize Enterprises?
I have not, but here's the thing. This show airs Monday through Friday. So every morning, so you are welcome to come back, even share that, even if you just came back on. You can dial into this show anytime. The way you dialed in, you can dial in anytime. And now that I see that's your number, I'll recognize and I'll say, you know, it's not a problem. And you can share that information for those individuals who may be in the area would like to. I would encourage everyone to stop by if they get a chance to meet you. You are absolutely, you know, Chris Rock. What's the other guy's name? You know, Arsenio Hall and a few others rolled into one. And I'm just saying, you are absolutely funny, yet articulate, yet at the same time very serious. But I tell you, and real. And you know, anybody would have it, they would. You could really do a one man show.
I know everyone keeps telling me that, man. They're like, man, why should be a comedian?
All I can say is, Steve Harvey, you know, move over. I'm not going to tell him to look out. He doesn't have to go anywhere. He does have to move over because, listen, you're good. And you're so, I mean, you can hold the audience attention for a long time.
thank you.
But here's the thing. Now, so I'm going to let you get back to the other part of the question if you remember it, because I certainly don't.
I remember.
Here's the thing. So you talked about this, so this is Domestic Violence Month. So your story, sharing that, like when you shared on Saturday about your mom. I mean, that is so real because I know those women who have said that about their sons. And so when you said that about your mom saying that, I know that's real. And I think and nobody will think you made that up because I know my mother was one of them. Okay, and I have some other people that, you know, I can mention my mom. She's passed away now, and she won't mind, but other people, they don't always like for you to mention them. So I won't mention some other people that I know, but they said the exact thing about their sons. But I love how you said you didn't purpose out to write a book. Before you came on the show, you probably weren't listening, but that's what I was talking about, how your purpose drives what you do. And so, but it was God's purpose for you to be an author. So anyway, go ahead with your story. I said how you got from A to Z, how you overcame the fear. But anyway, so it was you were forced into it through pain.
Right.
Through pain. And some people avoid pain so much they hate pain. But look at how something so painful changed your life, not just by coming out and saying, I'm not getting in trouble again, not by just feeling the loss of this this cousin that you felt you guys were like running partners or you were hanging with her or she was supporting you and she was your mentor and all of that. But the pain of this loss pushed you to become one of the most respected careers in the world, an author. I mean, that's amazing to me.
I never saw it coming. I kid you not. I did not see me being an author at all. When I tell that story, man, I tell my friends, and so you have to see the expressions. I wish some of the people in this industry, in this genre, you know, as far as being a writer, can see the faces of my friends. You know, and some of them are still like, Jeff, man, what the hell made you write a damn book, yo? You know, like, they look at me and you don't expect me to say I'm going to be a writer. See, I'm a chef by my occupation, actually, is cooking. Everyone for 30 years of my life that knows me knows my passion is cooking. I will never love any other occupation. I just don't. I shared my story of why. Because at such a young age, being a single parent, my mother, you know, my father not being there, you know, I was forced to cook. That was another thing that was forced upon us at that time. You know, this chicken, yard, this chicken, this is rice. And I told you this story, and this is exactly how she said it. This chicken, this is rice, read the damn directions, I gotta go to work. That was it. And ever since that day, I just love cooking, so I share that, and that's the truth. But I proceeded to go on with, you know, negative as positive. You can't, you know, you can have negative, but hopefully people will see the positive in themselves and believe in themselves at the same damn time. You know, because I put myself through college with drug money. You know, and I'm not ashamed to say that. You know, at least I did make an effort. My mom was the one that's not, I'm not going to let you walk around this house flossing and shining, as y'all say, but without making a purpose. She couldn't stop me from doing that after a certain age. Mother was like, you know, you're a grown man, you're a teenager. Obviously, me beating you ain't going to stop you from feeling as though you need this, but you're going to take your money, you're going to do something with it. What do you like to do? And I said, well, I love cooking. Because I had to do it since 10, Ma. You know, I've been cooking for my older brother. I have an older brother who lives in California, and I have a younger sister who's here in New York, but Westchester. She lives in Westchester County. You know, and that's how, but that's my passion. So no one knew that I would write. No one ever thought, you know, that I would put out books. And I still, to this day, even yesterday, I went to visit my mother in the Bronx, and, you know, my friend came out the back of the building that I've known for, you know, 35 years. He said, yo, man, where's your book, dog? Your old dog. And this guy is Hood. You know Hood. You know what a Hood brother is.
Yes, at
40 years old.
My God. You got such a funny story. Your story, I mean, you got so much going on here. Let me, you know, when you were talking about being from the Bronx and talking about love, hip-hop and being, you know, growing up in that era, being right smack dab and loving it. You remind, there's a movie, I can't think of the name of it, but the girl who played Love and Basketball.
Oh, so now listen.
Her and the guy who was the best man who wrote, he was in The Best Man, but he was the one who wrote the book. He was the author in the movie, The Best Man.
Uh-huh.
Remember The Best okay, well, him. I can't think of it. He was also the guy in Stella Got a Groove Back. Him.
Oh, Tate Diggs.
That guy. Okay, I'm not good at
the chocolate brother.
That's him. That's him. Well, the two of them are in a movie that's about hip hop.
Oh, you're talking about Brown Sugar.
Okay, see, I don't know the names of this
stuff. I'm a movie fan. See, me,
I'm older.
I love movies now.
And that movie, that remember, they loved hip-hop. So when you said that, I immediately went to that movie. That you could, You could have made it. You could have played that. You could have played that spot that Taye Diggs played.
Now that's something I wanted to be an actor.
No, you got to. You need to go. You need to go. You need to go back and watch. You need to go back and watch that movie because you could play a part like that because they loved hip hop. They knew all. I tell you that. You could have wrote the movie.
Yeah.
You could have wrote that. But, so you have all this excitement going on. You got these book signings. You're hanging out with the little Kims of the world and people like that because you know these people for real. So what in my God? You're going to be at a Hugh Nan book. Your book is on sale there at the Hugh Nan bookstore in Harlem. That's in Harlem.
In Harlem, 125th Street. Mm-hmm.
My God, you can go there.
Very prestigious black.
Wow, right. You got to go to that bookstore. Everybody, you got to go to the bookstore.
Yeah,
and when you go there,
well,
make sure
it's one
you
of
get...
the best bookstores in New York on black supporters. You know, they support African Americans. I'm not saying it's not. You know, they don't discriminate against any book, but it's definitely one of the African American. Her name is Marva, and Michael Bannerman is the manager of that bookstore. UN bookstore has been a great supporter of most of African American literature because, you know, it's black owned business, African American owned business, and they're just wonderful.
But they gotta go over there. They gotta get your books. Yeah, and tell us the name of your two books or three.
The first book is called Waiting for the Sun to Rise. As both of my books are available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com online. Also, I have a website, which is www.eliteroyalties.com. I will have to spell that for some people because I put a twinge at the end of royalties. So royalties would not be spelled R-O-Y-A-L-T-Y. Mine is R-O-Y-A-L-T-I-E-S.
Okay.
You know, so it's eliteroyalties.com. That's my website, www.eliteroyalties.com. I am the CEO of my own business.
Wonderful.
I am the CEO. Huh?
I said wonderful.
Yes, the CEO of my business, you know, Elite Royalties. And under my brand, there's a couple of branches, which is publications, filming department, concert coverage, artist interviewing. You're right, girl. I could not do this in one show, but I do want to answer your question for anybody who's listening now this morning. On the fear part, and starting from A to Z. Now, you know, when I first came out, I was a baby. I'm still a baby in this genre now. I'm not going to take credit for something that I have not earned yet. This is the truth, and that's why I try to be as real as possible. You know, I'm not going to take credit for all of this, you know, so-called fame, success. People are starting to recognize me. People do know who I am now. There's a lot of rappers who I hang out with who know, yo, did you write that book? And it's coming. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
It's a long time coming. I hope I continue to be successful, but I'm still a baby. When I first started in this before, which catapulted me to own my own business, you know, I had a very bad experience with what they call a self-publishing provider. There's a big difference. A lot of authors need, I wish they would find what I found when I became an independent author, okay? Because of the bad experience that I had with that, what they call self-publishing provider. Now, what a self-publishing provider does is they offer you an opportunity to get your book out and then also find you links to the outlets and to help you get your book out into the public, meaning they will attach you to Amazon.com. They'll put you on Barnes & Noble. Not saying that they, you know, won't keep their word on that, but the loophole to that is owning your own stuff. Like
right,
I said,
owning the right to your book.
I'm going to keep a PG for you, but owning your own stuff. And
okay.
I learned the hard way. I catch myself no names because I do not do that,
but
it was a very bad company that was supposedly well-known. What happened was I gave them my manuscript. This is the first thing that they do. They offer you, you know, you have to pay for the services. Sometimes it ranges from $2,500 to $3,500. So this is not I don't want anyone to think that you're, you know, when you come in to this, don't get discouraged, but this is the fear. Like you said, I'm answering your question. I'm trying to put it all in before you show in. You know, the fear of that, I was like, I did not know what I was doing. And the fear is, if I invest, and if this is something that I want to do, what's going to be the outcome? Will I be successful? These are all the questions for anybody who's writing a book, because when I finished my project, you know, the first book, I was like, I don't know if people are going to get me because there's so many other writers out there. And being African American, you got Zane, you got Terry Woods, you got Walter Mosley, you got Eric Jerome Dickerson, you have Quan, you have Treasure Blue. I mean, these are just so many. You have, you know, even Jackie White with Deception that we met the other night. You just have
right,
so many
right.
different people.
That's right.
Like you, mm-hmm. you know, even you as an author. And the competition, mm-hmm. the fear is, will I be, no, like, well, can I fit it? So that's the
sure.
first fear. Like,
is there
you know,
room for me in the market?
right. Is there room for me? So that's the first fear. Believing that your product or believing that your you know, story, whatever you wrote, whether it's nonfiction mm-hmm. or fiction, you know, mm-hmm. is good. But let me get back to that. So I had a bad experience with that publishing company. They own the ISBN number. This is something mm. that I'd rather tell my audience
wow.
if you want to be an author
wow.
to be careful of that. And it's best to try. You know what I'm saying? Not try. I think it's best just to own everything. Meaning,
yes.
you know, the process of elimination of you falling into that loophole of because they were hindering me from moving forward. Because
right.
my book, they sent my book back. You know, they didn't edit the inside. The interior design was horrible. There was grammatical errors. The cover had nothing to do with my story, you know.
Wow.
And it was amazing. And they just threw it out there. And you know, I had to learn because a few people pulled me back and said, listen, Jeff, your book is great, the story plot, but you do realize that there's a lot of damn mistakes in this book, yo. You know what I mean? Do you know how to spell? And I'm like, wait a minute, how do you know how to spell? But I paid these people to edit my book. So the fear became even more like, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? Now I'm getting feedback about this.
Mm.
But that's
mm.
another process. So, mm. you know, I got out of the contract with the well, first of all, I never signed a contract. You know,
thank
like I
God.
Said, they were providing me, which pushed me back, you know, to say, and this is where it's going to get funny, because you know how I talk, girl. See, I'm from the hood. I sold 1,000 books, right? I sold 1,000 books to them. They sent me
wow.
a damn set for $37.
Wow.
$37. Now,
wow.
you're playing with my money, dog. Now you're playing with my money. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't even about the books. Now it wasn't even about
wow.
the book. So, yeah, the hood came out of me. And when you take something from a black man from the hood and feels like he's being jerked, he's going to get upset. So,
anybody
you know,
would.
Yeah, man, I felt jerked. I felt upset.
Wow.
I was like, yo, listen, you know what? I got to the point where I've evolved so much. I said, y'all can keep the damn money. I don't even want my money. But give me back my books. And when I asked them that, they told me, well, you can't do nothing with this book anyway, with this
mm.
ISBN number and
mm.
barcode attached to it. So
mm.
I said, well, and I'm arguing them down. So,
mm.
you know, I took a step back and I called up, you know, some people who are in the law, and they was like, actually, they are right. You do not own that barcode, that ISBN number. And you cannot sell that book, Jeffrey. I said, oh, my God. So, you know, it was a very terrible experience. So I backed up from that and I said, you know what? How can I find a way to, you know, how does this stuff work? How does this work? How do I own my own stuff? You know, because like I said, I'm from the hood, and when I went through that experience, I said I would never let that happen again. Hey, nobody
right.
will have control of my shit stuff.
Right.
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 My stuff.
That's
and,
right. That's
you know, but I was scared after that. I was scared. I said, you know what, this isn't going to work. But I had already had the book out, and you know, my friends, my peers, my family was like, Jeff, come on, you just started. You know, don't get discouraged. I was like, no, because if I go through this in this business, I'm going to wind up fighting. Y'all don't seem to understand.
Mm.
I'm going to wind up fighting, though. You know what
wow.
I mean? I'm going to find
wow.
somebody, and I'm going to come to the office, and somebody's going to give me my money. Because now you're playing with my livelihood. I don't work. I took off full-time work, you know, to follow this and pursue it. But, you know, I was scared. I was like, can I succeed? How do I do it? You know, is this going to work? You know, is my product even
wow.
good? Do people even like my book? You know, I started doubting certain things, but the love and the support
mm.
of my friends who
wow.
persisted, you know, being consistent with their, you know, helping me, you know, just keep moving
wow.
forward. And, you know, I didn't want to limit myself, which brings me to my second book, but, you know, trying to shorten it up as much as I can, I just decided to own my own stuff. I bought my own barcode. Okay. Anyone, if they are listening, it is costly, but at the end of the day, you know what I mean? I feel a lot more secure and safe, and I'm not as scared as I was before because of that experience. So now I feel a little bit more secure.
Well, you know what? And for those of you, if you just tuned in, you are listening to Mr. Jeffrey. And Mr. Jeffrey McClanahan.
Not McClanahan, but McClanahan.
Mr.
No
Jeffrey
one gets it right the first
Spell.
Time, baby. No one.
Well, Mr. Jeffrey Spell with a G. He has a powerful, powerful story. He has amazing books out there. He has Waiting for the Sun to Rise.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get it right?
The second book is The Chronicles of Crush Onyx, which is a psychological thriller because I did not want to limit my imagination. And to anyone who's listening, if, and remember I expressed that too, as being an African-American
man,
I said I did not want to limit my imagination. So it is a psychological thriller, and I am from the urban community, but I'm changing the lane.
Awesome.
I'm telling everybody, I'm coming to this game, but I'm
changing
the lane. You know, there's nothing wrong with writing hood stuff, but I'm not going to limit my imagination. I like psychological thrillers. I like Matrix. I fell in love with Lord of the Rings. So I'm not ashamed to say that. I don't have to be a thug all day. I don't want to be a thug all day. I'm going to write about some other things. So Chronicles of Crush Onyx is a psychological thriller. It's a good so far it's been selling way more than Waiting for the Sunrise, which is kind of ironic to me because I'm like, I'm talking about domestic violence. Y'all want to read about a serial killer. But I'm happy and proud of that. And, you know, like I said, I'm on Amazon.com.
Well, we're going to get these books.
It's also on Kindle. This is my first day. This is the first opportunity.
Wow.
7:50 in the morning.
Wow.
You're the first person who, on your show, I'm announcing it. It is in Kindle form. $6.99, and it's achievements when you go through these phases. But it's available in Kindle and also paperback on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble or my website, www.eliteroyalties.com. People can Facebook me, my name, Jeffrey McClanahan. If anyone's listening, you know how to spell it, G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y, McClanahan, M-C-C-L-A-N-A-H-A-N, and I hope people just enjoy my work. I love it. I love you, and me and you, girl, we got to talk more. So when this show is over, if you got time, you call me back. Okay?
I will, but
that's
you know
it.
What?
I'm done.
You know what? You know what? You. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, because you're not done. But you know what? I tell you, I am just so blown away. This is our first day back, because we were gone for the summer. We took a summer break, and I said, okay, God, I need somebody, you know, powerful, dynamic to open the show back up with. And I was looking at this other person that I had kind of gotten to kind of late, but you know, but not everybody can do what you did. I just met you Saturday. I put it out and I asked you, could you do it? You had some arranged things already. So you had to make arrangements. You had some challenges. You had to spend time with your family in the morning. And you know what? But you came and you just don't know.
Another one more thing, please,
you know?
Please let me say this to my black men who are listening. If there's another black man, take the responsibility of your kids. Spend time with them. Quality time is getting involved in your children's life, my black brothers. I'm sorry. I'm not, like I said, I'm not racist, I'm not prejudiced, but I need to tell people I came out of prison, okay? I did 7 years incarcerated, you know, and I came out and my kids, the relationship that I'm building now, I am a father. I take my daughter to school every morning. I make coffee for my wife. I cook breakfast, and it's fun. The streets are not the place to be. There's no love in the street on that level when you have children. I must iterate this, and I strongly need to tell somebody, please, just spend time with your children. Even if you're going through baby mama drama, it don't matter. You spend time with it, and this morning, like I said, I was driving, and I'm calling you. I just got home. I got out the car now, and I'm still moving.
Wow.
Now I got to get on the computer and do more work. Chronicles of Crush Onyx is also a trilogy, so expect two more books from Chronicles.
You're awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time. I know you're busy. We're going to have you back. I'll call you later. Can't appreciate everybody. This has been Mr. Jeffrey McClanahan, and I got it right.
Hello.
He is an author. He's an author. He's an entrepreneur. He is a phenomenal motivational speaker. He's an inspirational speaker. Anybody, if you're listening, you got a group of young people, you need to do a book signing. Have him come and have him talk to your people, to your men, to your boys, and to your women that are being abused for this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. This is a man you need to come in and talk to the women and let them know that you are beautiful, you didn't deserve
to be,
and that there are men like him who respect you and will respect and will love you and will take care of you. God bless you to each and every person. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you again.
You're so welcome.
You're awesome. Get his books on Amazon. You can go now Kindle. Oh, my God. You can get him on Facebook. He's got the website.
Twitter.
Yes, he's everywhere. He's doing it big, y'all. He's doing it big.
I'm coming.
You coming. You can
I refuse
just, you
to
know
fail.
What?
That's another
you
thing.
Can.
I refuse to fail.
You can. Mm-hmm. You're not going to fail because God has purposed this in you. You're not going to fail. It's too late for that. If they wanted you to fail, they should have gotten you way back when. It's too late.
That's right.
Yeah. They missed their opportunity, and so now you're taking every opportunity to do what God has purposed for you to do, and it's going to be big things and great things, things that you can't even imagine. And I'm just glad to be looking at it, watching it, and to say, I remember when we sat on the panel together, October the 1st. I can't wait to say that because we're going to see you on the big screens, on television, and it won't be very, very, very long. So, everyone, thank you, Ms. Pat, for calling in. Thanks to all the other listeners. Thank you over to our good friend in Japan. We know there's so many. Mr. Paul Kiriazi. Thank you, Kiva, down in Tennessee. I know there's so many of you are listening this morning. Thank you. And have an awesome day, y'all.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.